back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing, man?
I just had a couple thoughts about our wonderful state Supreme Court.
Go ahead.
It seems like at least three times they have entirely ignored the state constitution, at least three times. First of all, the Republican designed Wisconsin Elections Commission was charged with the duty of making election rules, not the Supreme Court. And so the court basically legislated from the bench. They said, yep, we're going to make the rules, not the legislature and not their designated representatives. But even earlier than this, first of all, when Walker and the Republicans rammed through this lame duck session where they basically ignored the separation of powers and said, yep, the attorney general and the governor of the state have to get authorization from the legislature essentially before they can do anything on their own. And that, of course, violates the Constitution because there's supposed to be a separation of powers there. One is not supposed to be dependent upon the other. And finally, this is the worst, when they basically overruled the governor's veto on the gerrymandered maps. And I would still argue that the current maps are probably unlawful if you look at the voting rights laws. When they cut down the number of majority-minority districts from 6 to 5, when there was an increase in the number of minority people in those districts, I mean, they're doing essentially the same thing that the U.S. Supreme Court is. They're legislating from the bench. So that I'm not a lawyer,
Sandy is. Let's yep. see Sandy's response.
Well, I won't disagree that both the National Supreme Court, the U.S., and the state Supreme Court have become very outcome oriented and have become very policy outcome oriented, which strikes me as sounding a great deal like, and in fact being a great deal like, legislating from the bench, in spite of the fact that the conservatives would suggest that that's the last thing in the world that a court should do. In fact, they've attacked liberal courts across the country for that very same thing. With respect to the gerrymandering, I happen to think that the gerrymandering issue is very, very complicated, and is complicated a great deal by the geopolitical realities of how the Democrats demographically are currently located, being very, very densely populated in urban areas and very, very sparsely located in more rural areas, and that is a very big culprit in the outcomes that we're getting at the state house level across the country, because it makes it a great deal harder to draw district lines that will result in anything like the same balance headcount in an assembly as you get in a statewide context.
But Sandy, those districts, I mean, the fact that the breakdown of these areas with people of color being in the urban areas and the other in the rural areas has always been the case in Wisconsin. Why is it different now?
Well, because the rural areas were not so
voting red. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Been my point. That right. The Democratic Party has become highly concentrated in urban voters, and it didn't used to be the case. Wisconsin Rapids, La Crosse, Wausau, Green Bay, Eau Claire. All of the city centers around the state were blue in the days gone by, and no longer the case.
Jack?
Yeah, there is truth in that. But if you really are looking for, and of course the Republicans aren't, but if you're really looking for one person, one vote, yes, it's complicated to draw those lines appropriately. It seems that Even Governor Evers had some difficulty getting some kind of proportional representation.
Yes,
and, that, really
and that's
in
the
one
reason.
Person, one vote.
Well, that's the reason, and
yeah.
My assertion is that the Democratic Party has a job to do, and one of them is to be vigilant about how district lines are drawn. But the other, much more important job, is to reach out to and deal with spreading. The support for their party back to rural areas, so there's a natural outcome from this density of population, which is a disproportionate representation in the assemblies.
Yeah, that's definitely a case. And I know in Minnesota, the Democratic Party is known as the Democratic Farm Labor Party, because they do have a strong contingency in the rural areas in the farming community. And Wisconsin's Wisconsin's Democratic Party absolutely has to address that too.
Hey, Jack,
thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. You know, Sandy, what's transpired? Do we misunderstand the role of the Supreme Court, do you think? Has it changed over the years?
Well, yes, I think it has. And to some extent, I think the Supreme Court has always been in a position to have an impact on societal issues. And the Supreme Court has always reflected some ideological views. As you go back in time, you can see that there were Supreme Courts that were willing to support Jim Crow laws. There were Supreme Courts that were willing to support separate but equal. There were Supreme Courts that looked at things in different ways depending on the social outlook of the court itself and the political outlook of the court itself. So has it changed? I'm not sure it's changed so much as that the impact of it periodically is much more visible to us and much more obvious to us, as it, to the extent that it doesn't reflect maybe the sense of the moral fiber of the country or the social political outlook of the country.
All right, gotta go, gotta leave it there. Thank you very much. Thank all of you for listening. Thank you, Sandy, as always. You and I will reconnect on this coming Friday. Everybody, enjoy yourself. Thank you. Connor, man.
Oh,
thank you.
Earl.
Yeah. Man. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.